The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Everybody taking us in, we appreciate it. It's brought to you by DraftKings here from Bar Canada the day. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9. So much more than a producer. Little Orleans in the background.
What's up, man?
Still the one from back
still
in the
one?
Yeah, back in the 70s, I believe it was.
It's a good jam.
Good jam. How you doing, man? You good?
Good. I'm just gonna start flashing up 9. How about that?
What do you mean? Oh, 9. Here. Do you not like that producer number 9? You don't like that so much more than the producer?
No. I like it. That's fine.
I'm just curious.
Someone gave me a compliment of being so much more to the producer on Twitter the other day when I was actually just doing my job as a producer. Well, so I kind of cracked up about.
We got a bunch of college hoops. We got a bunch of baseball. Special numbers game investigation revealing that the Major League Baseball season, I know there were 2 games in Korea. Don't tweet at me. Begins in earnest. How about that? Tomorrow. Aces abound. Some great matchups. Jason Weingart and Mark Borchardt and I did a Beating the Book baseball preview podcast yesterday. Everybody giving all their bets. Yes, those that still exist. So I urge you to check that out after this show. But we will have Borchardt on later, as we will Paul Sporer. How about that? A Sporer appearance from Fangraphs.
Let's go.
Base winner for the Bet US show as well. We'll have them talking baseball. Will Hill's going to probably have some baseball thoughts as well. But college hoops from him and JVT coming up as well. NBA, and I'll review my baseball bets here momentarily. But NBA last night, Kelly, let us begin there, shall we?
Told you it was going to be a night.
You did tell me it's going to be a night. I was like, this is a night.
This is a night.
Bucks up 19 in the fourth quarter. They lose it to the Lakers, who were not playing LeBron James last night. And AD and Austin Reeves went off. Lakers come back, win it in double OT. 128 to 124, AD with 34 and 23, not to mention 4 blocks and 2 steals.
Just insane stat lines in this game.
Giannis in defeat, 29, 21, and 11. And Austin Reeves had himself, messed around and had himself a triple-double.
Yeah.
128 to 124. Does that say more about the Lakers to you or the Bucks?
Bucks.
I think still, so too, right?
I don't.
You never believed in this team this year.
Who, Milwaukee?
Lately, as I recall.
Yes, you've read it correct. I mean, you know I was a big Giannis guy. I was excited when they made the move. It's just we've seen it now for several months. Like, I can't. Here's the thing. With the Knicks with having their injuries and the Sixers having their injuries, you can't fully you consider them, I think, as Eastern Conference contenders until they get healthy, if they get healthy. So the problem is still, Gil, is at the end of the day, I think it's going to be Celtics and the Bucks are going to be the team that is still left. But these problems that they keep having, I mean, it's over and over again. I mean, only scoring, what I think it was 13 points in the fourth quarter last night. You let the Lakers back in this game just seemingly very easily in the final couple minutes of the game. And then they overtime just couldn't get anything going. It's tough. It's tough because they've got some really talented players, and it's tough to watch them do that.
One of the more interesting things in sports that the casual fan of sports will not really have been focused on. I'll use my buddy Tommy in DC as Mr. Casual Sports Fan, or he's a big football fan, but less for other sports. If I said to him, do you know that the Orlando Magic might end up as the third seed in the Eastern Conference? He'd be like, wait, that's not possible. What are you talking about? But that really is the truth. Is Mosley the guy who's going to win Coach of the Year now? Is he the front runner your head?
I have very mixed feelings on that race because I think that he is a probably should win the award. I wonder though if it's a Maxi situation. I think Dagnall and Maxi are kind of similar cases in their different awards markets where they were installed.
You can't bet it until it's installed.
Like, they became such early favorites, Gil, and it's made sense for so long to give those guys the awards that they're in that now you have these guys making late pushes that those stories have kind of been out of the media. We haven't really talked about them too much with Maxi and Dagnall for a while that I think Mosley could. I think if he did, it would be deserving. I don't have a bet on it just because it feels like we've already given this award Dagnall. But I'm glad you brought him up because he's the guy I think should win it.
Dagnall minus 450 at DraftKings. Jamal Mosley of the Magic 6-1, who is right behind him. as the next short shot in that race.
The last thing is this is so tough to talk about the Bucks, Gil, because like I think they are the biggest challenger to the Celtics in the East, right?
Yep.
I think though that the Bucks are going to have a bigger challenge getting to the Eastern Conference Finals to face the Celtics. Like, I think if they get there, they actually have a chance.
Bigger than in previous years, you mean?
Yeah, just because what we've seen this team do the whole season, I think the idea that they're going to get through multiple competitive series fine and get to the Eastern Conference Finals is the bigger question right now.
Old school Warriors last night. Klay with 28 in a starting performance.
Yeah.
There you go, Klay.
Came out fired.
Now a one-game lead over the Rockets for that coveted 10th hole in the play-in in the Western Conference.
Betting pretty big against them tonight.
Ever since? Oh, you are? What's your bet tonight?
Magic. I laid 4.5. I don't get that number at all. I make it like 7. It's like 5 right now. And then weird market movement, because I bet it 4.5 on the opener. It shot out to like 6.5. I thought it was going to settle in there. Woke up this morning and back down to like 5. Pretty surprising to me.
Four right now.
Even less. It's even going less. Warriors taking money still this morning. Yeah, 4.5s out there right now. I don't get that number at all.
And then ever since I bet SGA for MVP, he stopped scoring 30 a game.
Yeah, and hopefully he didn't get hurt last night. He got nicked up a little bit in that game against the Pelicans. That was a great game against New Orleans.
Thunder had a huge lead, gave up that lead, then still secured the win at the end. All right, is that your one NBA bet?
Yeah, I played small on Denver on the opener at 6.5. It's out to like 7.5 right now. There's a lot of injury questions in that, though, so I wouldn't go messing around with it right now until you kind of know what's going on with Jamal Murray or Gordon Bradley Beal.
All right, no tennis bets today. Sorry about that. We're at the business end, as they say, of the Miami Open, the second half of the Sunshine Double, so no plays today. It's very Chalky McChuckerson, I think. Hope everybody was on Tomáš Machač. Yesterday, Tomáš Machač is actually how I pronounce it. Sorry about that. That was easy peasy, straight set winner for everybody. So over 24 units now on the year in match play. But baseball, just to review again, on the cusp of having Sporer and Borchardt on here today and the baseball season beginning in earnest tomorrow with great matchups. I know Zach Wheeler against Spencer Strider is probably the headline matchup, but there's others. Logan Webb and Yu Darvish in the Giants-Padres game. Aces abound tomorrow. The bets that I have in pocket heading into the season, and this is, I'd say, more pre-flop than I've had in recent years, to be honest with you, because I sort of, that Braves thing I did a couple years ago was in September. When I bet the Braves 17 times at plus money when they were behind the Mets to win the NL East. But what I have this year is a smattering. And so I usually, the one season win total I had last year, again, was over on the Rangers. They not only soared over that, they ended up winning the World Series. Wish I had bet that. But I got them over the season win total. My season win totals, as we talked about a few weeks back, I got the Padres over 81.5. For reasons I gave back then, but essentially they really addressed their weaknesses, specifically the bullpen. A thinned out rotation is now bolstered. And so I do believe that the Padres really figured out finally, it's like, we're not going to win this as an all-star team. Let's actually do this by having Dylan Cease and Michael King in that rotation by addressing the bullpen. So over 81.5. And I went through a whole dissertation about how in terms of Bill James Pythagorean theorem and sequencing that the Padres should have won instead of winning 82 games last year, they should have won 93 based on Pythag. They should have won 91 based on sequencing. And so for this to be set as low as it was at 81.5, I went over. It's now 83.5. Obviously, I don't like it quite as much, but I do like it still. I just think is you're not asking them to do much. You're just asking them to tick over 500. So I would still recommend it at the current price. But again, we gave it out at 81.5 here on the show a few weeks back. Cubs remain at 84.5. That's my second favorite one. That's the other one I played. Cubs over 84.5 against. They were another one that underperformed last year. They only won 83 games. They should have won 91 based on Bill James Pythagorean theorem, expected wins, that is. And of course, sequencing. They're still at 84.5. See a Suzuki monster second half last year, 938 OPS. Michael Bush, Pete Crow Armstrong, Ben Brown, some of the names you'll probably hear throughout this year that you'll probably get to know. I think the Cubs highly undervalued. So Padres over 81.5, Cubs over 84.5. That Cubs number is still intact. And then I went crazy on the Giants, and I did this before they acquired Blake Snell. But somebody in the National League, I didn't bet them to win the division. There's no way they're going to overcome the Dodgers in 162 games. But somebody in the National League has got to make it as wild cards. And I think the Giants are poised for it. And even before they got Blake Snell, they still had Logan Webb. Kyle Harrison is still there. And the acquisition, the sneaky acquisition of Jordan Hicks and making him a starter. Then you add Blake Snell as your number two. You got yourself a rotation. It's not a team that if they get to the postseason, you want to play in the postseason. And of course, they bolstered their power with Jorge Soler and Matt Chapman. So the Giants, not to win the division, but to make the playoffs at plus 172. That's still around plus 145 now. Still like it. Giants to win the NL, I got it 27-1. It's at 21-1. Giants to win the World Series, I got it 53-1. That's at 45-1. So you're like, you're crazy. National League, World Series. The point being that in baseball, if you get into the show, anything is possible. The playoffs are a complete crapshoot. And so in baseball, it's a little bit of a different calculus than it is in the other sports that we know and love here in North America. And then the only other thing I bet was a completely a Jason Weingarten thing, where he was like, O'Neill Cruz 100-1 MVP National League. O'Neill Cruz and the Pirates. And then he went nuts in spring training, going nuts. Go. So I bet it because I'm like, okay, maybe you're right, 100-1. Now, always shop around because O'Neill Cruz right now, he's 25-1 at DraftKings, but at Advocate Coral, he's 65-1. So, yep, like, shop around. There were huge differences in prices. 65-1 is a bet. 25-1, I'd hold off. A lot of baseball on the show. JVT on the other side. Some college hoops and NBA next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With so many bottles to choose from, it's easy to find your favorite all at the lowest prices for over 30 years. Find what you love and love what you find at Total Wine & More. Drink responsibly. B21. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. It's a numbers game. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is Jonathan Von Tobel at BJVT on Twitter. He's our senior.
Not yet.
Oh, no, not yet?
Not yet.
Oh, I'm so excited to talk to him.
We got Reggie walking in, though.
Oh, okay. Well, it's not JVT, then. By the way, I should mention, I was just looking at this over here. Pepperdine transfer, Michael Ajay.
Yeah.
Going to Gonzaga. Those of us who follow the Pepperdine program, that's a pretty big deal. Pepperdine, who fired Lorenzo Romar. They should have. But all those kids were super-duper loyal to him. And they are now spraying all over college basketball. So Houston Millett going to Alabama, he's committed. That's a huge addition for them next year. And then Michael Ajay going to Gonzaga. He's from Washington. That's a huge pickup for the Zags. 6'7" wingman. He's going to be big with the Zags next year. So
I bet there's a good chance to get back to the Sweet 16, Gil.
Nine in a row. By the way, we haven't made enough of that.
I know, right?
It's nine ridiculous. Sweet 16s in a row is virtually impossible.
Yeah.
And again, this year was an anomaly because at one point, take him at his word, you know, if you want to, but I take him at his word. Mark Few didn't think that there was a moment where he wasn't sure they were going to get to the dance in late December. And here they are. And a lot of people still like him to go for, didn't win the conference tournament either, right? But here they are in the Sweet 16 for the ninth straight year. And remember, this is a program that until the late 90s, nobody nationally was paying attention to. And then Cinderella story, I believe it was in 99. And then once Mark Few took over, so many disappointments in the NCAA tournament, but a fixture in the NCAA tournament in, I mean, this generation, if you're a kid who's 25 years old, you don't know a life without them.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
You know, and so.
Even older than that, right? I mean, the bulk of my adult.
Yeah.
You know, time as adult, like Gonzaga basketball has been that's been a huge thing.
One of the great sports announcing operas, and I use the word opera very deliberately, was the Adam Morrison crying game against UCLA.
Yep.
When Gonzaga blew that game against UCLA famously in the NCAA tournament, and Gus Johnson and Len Elmore were on the call. And I believe, you know, we go back to when was the first time this happened? When was the first time that happened? We talk about Jimmy Vaccaro, NBA season, or excuse me, just period season win totals, 1989. Season win totals didn't exist as a betting thing before 1989. I was talking about that Carolina Duke game that was 7-0 at halftime. First time air ball had ever been chanted by a crowd. That was, you know, late 70s when that happened. That opera with Gus Johnson and Len Elmore, you know how all the announcers are, oh, you got to be kidding me, right? He's like a very famous, that was the first time, you know, that anybody like Len Elmore, just incredulous at what he was watching, was shouting that.
Thought he was going to be such a good pro, Morrison.
Morrison? Yeah. Oh, yeah, not so much. JVT joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He is not only our senior NBA analyst, but also, of course, the co-host of VEASAN Primetime Weeknights here at the network. What's happening, John?
Nothing much, guys. It's a good time of year. Nitty gritty NBA, college basketball, obviously. Baseball starts tomorrow. I'm very excited for baseball tomorrow. I can't wait.
I am too, actually. Do you have any season longs that you bet?
Yeah, I got a Yankees under 94.5 win total. That was before the Gerrit Cole news, so got a little fortunate there. We'll see what happens to him. Over on the Royals, 74.5. Got some fun long shots. I got Tristan McKenzie to win Cy Young at 100-1. Blue Jays to win the AL East at 4-1. So some fun futures to sweat for the next, you know, eternity.
You are the first guy. You're the first guy anecdotally. I'm sure others have the Blue Jays, but you're the first guy I've heard say you have the Blue Jays, because I've heard a lot of Rays recently from a lot of people. So yeah. Blue Jays.
I kind of felt like the market was a little mispriced in the AL East. Like, I didn't think the Yankees, obviously, have been under the win total. So I didn't think, Gil, that they should be like co-favorites with Baltimore. I really like Toronto's bullpen. Obviously, they put two guys on the injured list to start the season just on Monday. But I think you're still good enough there to, when you're looking 4-1, by my measure, there was enough value there worth playing, I think.
Yeah, this came up the other day. I'm glad you just mentioned it. I just wanted to say one more time. The Baltimore Orioles in spring training this year were 23-6. And someone tweeted about this the other day. So in case you, they were like, is that a thing? And my response was, spring training records are never a thing, but 23-6 is out of control. Good.
Silly.
And if you follow them at all, they would just destroy any bullpen that they put in front of the Orioles. So the Orioles might just be way better than any of us think. We'll see. Okay, NBA. Give me your, as we're roughly 10 games out from the postseason, or from the play-in tournament, I should say, the play-in games. Give me the most interesting JVT take as we approach the playoffs. I'll leave it open.
Okay, most interesting take. I guess that... Okay, you know what? This might be interesting, and I think Kelly might be in. I think maybe we're sleeping on how good the Orlando Magic could be in the Eastern Conference. I mean, it's a team that is one of the best defensive teams in the NBA, could finish as high as third in the Eastern Conference and in non-garbage time defensive rating when all is said and done. They have a legitimate Coach of the Year candidate, and like guys at almost every single position, they got some really good players. The emergence of Jalen Suggs is not only a really good point of attack defender, but a 40% three-point shooter has allowed them to kind of space the floor. They are deep by their own standards, right? Like, they've got guys coming off the bench that they trust. I think if you look at them and look at their ability to really muck up a lot of these games, and they put some impressive performances together. The other day, New Orleans goes in there as a 2.5-point road favorite. They absolutely wiped the floor with the Pelicans. So I think if we're talking about, like, interesting and like teams we're not really talking about enough, right? Everybody's waiting for the Knicks to get healthy. And, you know, the Bucks looked like they were turning it around before they blew it yesterday in double overtime. And yet here we are with Orlando, like, quietly just churning along, one of the best defensive teams in the NBA with a ton of length and size and a little bit of upside on offense. I think that's probably the team we're kind of sleeping on. That if there's a surprise run out of somebody, maybe it's not the Knicks. Maybe it's Orlando.
Yeah, I didn't expect the Magic to come up in each of our first two segments today, but here we are. Another vote for the Orlando Magic.
All right.
12 games in the association tonight. What'd you play?
So I'm still looking around. I think at the top of the list is the Oklahoma City Thunder today. Now we're waiting for the injury report. It's getting bet up. The second leg of a back-to-back. Speaking of, you know, they play yesterday against the New Orleans Pelicans, but this is a big, big litmus test for the Houston Rockets today. Look, the Rockets have been awesome. We know about the run that they have been on up to this point. But if you evaluate their opponents that they've been playing, you're talking about, you know, the Portlands, Utahs, Chicago, yeah, Washington, Dan Antonio, like, it hasn't really been great. And so they've taken care of business, as they should. But this does seem to be one of those things where the market kind of overreacted a bit. I mean, they were just talking about, or they just played in Oklahoma City the other day. They were catching 6.5. I shouldn't say the other day. It was a month ago. They were catching 6.5. And of course, no, excuse me, they were catching 10 and they lost. They didn't cover 112-95. Now, all of a sudden, we're sitting here and it's 6.5 because they've been on a little bit of a run. Seems like a cheap number. So I laid it with OKC. That's at the top of the list for right now. I'm still sifting through some of the injury reports and whatnot, but that for me is the best bet of the day.
Well, and John, that Rockets number was with Shane Goon too, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's the other part, Kelly. Like, that's a really, like, they haven't lost since they lost Shane Goon, but again, they haven't played a legitimate defense.
Yeah, they've won seven and a tick because he got hurt mid-game in the previous one, but seven games outright since he's been out of the lineup, which is, you know, even despite the competition, no one would have thought would come. One game behind the Warriors, again, for that number 10 spot in the Western Conference. Sweet 16 tomorrow, John. Four tomorrow, four on Friday. What do you like best?
All right, so I played a couple of numbers here. First off, and this one was moving against me, so I'll give out. Iowa State's my team, guys. I freaking love this team. They're absolutely brilliant. When you have the ability to pressure opposing backcourts the way that they do, one of the best teams in the country in forcing turnovers. In fact, I think they actually might be up to literally the best. And you're taking on an Illinois team that has no true point guard, that has questionable play on defense, as we've seen throughout this entire season. So I actually laid two down to 1.5. So I still think that's playable. I think Iowa State, you know, I picked them to win the national championship. I love this team. And by the way, they have covered 72% of their games. Like, the market has slept on them all season long. So it's not surprising once again to see the market move against them here. The others that I played, UConn, I laid the points there with the Huskies. I laid 9.5. It's 11 right now. I think that it's going to come back down, especially once we get closer to game time. So I think 10 is a playable number. So if you get that 10 pop up, and there's a couple 10.5s out there right now, I think that that's something you want to do. The San Diego State Aztecs are one of the most overvalued teams in the country. They can't shoot. They had an outlier shooting performance against Yale. UConn's going to go out there and suffocate them to death, I believe, and win by a wide margin. It's just what they do. And then the last one is Purdue. I was really impressed, and I get it. It's Utah State, but they took no prisoners in that game whatsoever. And when you're facing teams like Gonzaga and Utah State that play primarily for low post players, this time around it's Graham Ike, I think that plays into the hands of Purdue. I think more perimeter-oriented teams are going to give the Boilermakers trouble. And I think this is one where, again, if you're going to be comfortable defensively, I think you're going to be able to come in here and win by margin. I was waiting for an opportunity to play against Gonzaga. This is the first time it's presented itself. And so I laid it here with the Boilermakers.
You casually mentioned that you have Iowa State to win it all. When did you make that call, JVT?
Let's see. I bet them, I want to say like a month and a half, 2 months ago to win the whole thing. And then obviously like with the brackets and stuff like that, like they were my selection. So yeah, I've been on them for a little bit. And, you know, to be honest, dude, Gil, I mean, I have some insight following them. Got a bunch of UNLV connections, right? Keyshawn Gilbert and TJ Altenberger. So yeah, I like this team a lot.
What's your number that you have bet on them?
25, 26 to 1, something like that.
All right. JBT on Iowa State. John, thank you. I appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
Jonathan Von Tobel, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. VSiN senior NBA analyst, of course, co-host of Primetime. VSiN Primetime with Tim Murray. Weeknights here at VSiN. We'll come back. Will Hill, baseball, college hoops, whatever else he's betting. The host of the Should Have Bet More podcast next.
The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in. We are grateful. We appreciate it. Thank you for letting us be part of your mornings here Monday through Friday on a numbers game. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland, Kelly Bidelon, everybody. Producer number 9. So much more than a producer.
Sup?
How you doing?
Doing just great, man.
The day after, we were talking Shohei and
Jonte Porter.
Jonte. Shohei and Jonte. The NCAA is now pushing states to ban prop bets involving college players. This just came out. NCAA President Charlie Baker issuing a statement this morning asking all states that have legalized sports gambling to pass laws prohibiting the availability of individual prop bets for college athletic events. This on the heels of the Jonte Porter story, in case you missed it yesterday, where the NBA and gambling companies found irregularities in prop betting on Jonte Porter props on at least two nights where he exited ball games where people were trying to make huge bets on the under. I am going to let the hate wash over me, but I have absolutely no problem with this ask from the NCAA.
I don't either. Now, in full transparency, how much college prop betting am I doing personally? Not much at all,
right?
Anyways, so yeah, is it easier for me to say that than maybe some other bettors?
Correct.
Sure, but I don't have a problem with it.
I don't have a problem with it at all. College kids, remove that temptation.
Right. of things that we've always talked about for years of what could be problems with when you have gambling legalized. I think that is one of the areas where there could be the biggest
issues. And I know there's people that say, oh, come on, man. No, it's okay. We can remove that one thing. That's fine.
Yeah, right. What we'll just talk about. There's only a million different betting options up for almost every other sport you want to bet.
If guys who are, you know, there's so many non-NIL people playing college sports that aren't making a penny from anything. We can remove that temptation. It's not the worst thing in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, boy, am I excited to see this guy, because that means baseball season is upon us. He works at FanGraphs and does so much more in the baseball world. Of course, the podcast that he does for so many years with so many co-hosts. So we got to update that, what he's doing right now, podcast wise. But it's the great Paul Sporer, everybody, at Sporer, S-P-O-R-E-R, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Where do we stand on the podcast front for 2024? Paulie, I don't want to say anything you're not doing anymore.
No, no problem. We're still doing the sleeper and the bust over at FanGraphs, three times a week with my co-host, Justin Mason. And, we are beyond excited for the season. Honestly, it felt like a little bit of a quick off season. You know, I'm one of those that languishes through the winter. Not only do I miss baseball, but I also desperately hate cold weather. So I'm sitting there ready, like, come on, come on, come on. And I feel like we got through it pretty nicely. I forget what the Rogers Hornsby quote about sitting there and just waiting for time to pass in the winter. But that's how I feel. We got it. Even with like the Boris players kind of having a weird off season, I felt it was a pretty nice off season altogether, and I'm very excited.
I thought spring training lasted 5 months. I agree with Will in the previous segment. Like, it just felt like it lasted forever. All right, but we're here. I know we played two games in Korea, but the real season begins tomorrow. Yes. Give me your most. I asked this of JVT in the NBA heading into the playoffs earlier on the show. I'll ask the same of you heading into the baseball season pre-flop. Give me the most unconventional wisdom Paul Sporer take headed into the 2024 baseball season.
You want to talk about the Angels? No, I'm kidding. That's a reference to the last several years where been in on them. No.
Yeah.
Honestly, I would probably say that the AL Central could be upended, and not just by my Tigers. I am a Tigers fan wearing the Tigers hat for those that aren't watching the video. But I don't really let my homerism get locked into that. It's not even that I don't like Minnesota, the prohibitive favorite. It's just that I think you can make a legitimate case for every team in that division except for the White Sox. That's like the only team that I can't really even, you know, give you a bunch of ifs that's going to get them there. But I think the Tigers are the big upstart that people are really interested in. The Royals, I think, have some appeal. I really liked their offseason. Now they've got a nice three up front with Cole Reagans, Michael Wacha, Seth Lugo. The Guardians, what's their main thing is pitching. So if they can find some extra hitting, you know, if some of those guys that popped off in 2022 can get back on track, maybe a couple guys jump forward, maybe if they stop giving away quality outfielders like Nolan Jones and Will Benson to other teams, and they just kind of keep their outfielders, but they could make it, you know, I can make a case for them. So I think the AL Central being upended by a team that isn't Minnesota is probably the most off the beaten path take that I have as far as like a division winner.
Yeah, now that's interesting, because you can bet, again, you can bet division exactas. And if use the word upend, so let's use that literally. Royals Tigers 1-2, 33-1. Tigers Royals 1-2 finish 28-1. Would you take a flyer on those two based on what you just said?
Yeah, I can do like a quarter or a half unit, you know, something like that. I've always talked about on here that when I'm doing those long-term ones, those full season ones, I don't want to lock up a ton of my bankroll. So they're always going to be smaller. You know, whatever your standard unit is, $100, $500, $50, cut it in half, cut it into a quarter if I'm going to do something like that. But yeah, I really do think, and again, it's not so much an anti-Minnesota take. So Twins fans, don't come at me hard. I like your ball club, but the offense is riddled with injury risk, and every pitching staff is riddled with injury risk just by virtue of the fact that they're pitching. And I'm not trying to be cute or anything, but like that is, pitchers get injured. That's what they do.
Yeah.
So you're already going to have that risk built in. And then they've got the offense that has, you know, Buxton, Correa, Royce Lewis, kind of their 2-3-4, all studs when they're playing. but how often do they play? So that's why I think they're a bit vulnerable there, even though I do like the talent. And if you promised me health with the Twins, sure, I would take them, but you can't promise me that. So yeah, I think I would maybe for about a half unit on that Tigers Royals. I think my Tigers got a little bit of an edge on them with their pitching depth. When you can send down a Matt Manning and that's not an egregious move on their part, that really speaks to your depth. And he's not the only one they've got. They got Sawyer Gibson Long on the come up. They've got Ty Madden from my Longhorns, somebody who can make a dent this year. Wilmer Flores, who does have the same name as the other player because they are brothers, pitching another pitcher that could be pretty nice. So I'm really excited about my Tigers pitching depth. They don't need a ton of hitting to actually do some damage this year.
Well, give us an awards market. Could be Cy Young, could be Rookie of the Year, could be anything where you have a take on and you feel strongly about a certain person.
Well, I think there's probably mostly two people, probably down to one a bit now because Jackson Holliday got sent out, at least temporarily. I don't think it's going to be super long, although I think there is some justification for that. I don't think it's pure playing time manipulation or service time manipulation there. He did strike out like 33% of the time in spring. He's 20 years old. They've got so much talent. So I don't think that one's as egregious. I know people were ticked at the Orioles for doing that. So then the odds on favorite becomes Wyatt Langford. And I'm looking at his teammate, Evan Carter, as somebody that I really, really like. I love the foundation that he lays with his amazing discipline, but he's a power speed guy. He's got the defense. I think every piece is there for Evan Carter to maybe take it away from teammate Wyatt Langford. I'm excited about Langford. I think he could be really dominant day one, but give me Evan Carter as an AL Rookie of the Year.
Evan Carter, 4-1, always shop around for these, but generally 4-1. Wyatt Langford, +215, the short shot. Jackson Holliday, also 4-1.
He's still the short shot there with him not making the team and Langford making the team. I mean, I know, you know, it could be 2-3 weeks and then you don't need a full season on Rookie of the Year, but I really am surprised that Holliday is still the short shot there.
Home runs, Aaron Judge and Pete Alonso. Well, Aaron Judge, the favorite to hit the most home runs in baseball this year, 4-1. Sure. Pete Alonso, 6-1. Shohei also in there in single digits, and Soto. Shohei, Soto, and Yordan Alvarez, along with Matt Olson, the only other in single digits at 9-1. Do you like any of those, or do you like anybody else off the radar?
Man, I was hoping that Soto was a better number, but I know everyone's keen on him, so it's not really, you know, out there to be saying that Juan Soto's awesome. I just really think he's going to take advantage of that park. You know, one of the things when he was first going over there, and you know I play a lot in the fantasy realm, and that's where my bread is buttered, saying like, oh, you know, he doesn't pull the ball a lot. He hasn't had a park that rewards it the way that Yankee Stadium does. So Juan Soto hit 35 last year. I think he could easily jump into the 40s this year. Where's Schwarber at? I think you always have to consider a Kyle Schwarber. And I'll tell you the long shot one, and it all comes down to health. But he's also on the Yankees. Giancarlo Stanton still smacks the living hell out of the ball, Gil. And I know that would have to be a really big number for me to get on that. But Schwarber's the one that's like realistic, and Stanton's the one that like, hey, quarter unit for funsies if they got him at a big number.
Schwarber 12-1, Giancarlo 75-1.
Yeah, I mean, it all comes down to health, right? And is he going to stay healthy? Probably not. But if he did, if he gave me 135 games from Giancarlo Stanton, I'd be pretty surprised if he wasn't in the mix for the home run title. He still absolutely tattoos the ball. It's just a matter of staying on the field, which has been a challenge. And that's why it's 75-1. So you're not going crazy with it. You're throwing a quarter unit.
60 seconds. Give me the club in the AL and the NL that you think is not on most people's radars that could sneak into the postseason and do some damage.
All right. In the National League, I don't know why people aren't giving more love to the Cardinals, but that's actually not going to be my one because they're a blue blood. People still like them, but I think they're going to be way better than they were last year. It's in that same division though, the Brewers. I actually like the offseason that they had. I think it was more of a retool than a rebuild. I don't think people are giving them enough love. It's a solid offense, some really nice young players coming up. The pitching is going to be the tough part. Peralta, newcomer DL Hall, who they got in the Corbin Burns deal, is really going to have to step up for them. I'm pretty chalky in the American League, but I did pick on FanGraphs as a wild card my Detroit Tigers. So I will go ahead and use them as the one here. again, the pitching depth is amazing, and that's something that you haven't been able to say about Detroit in quite some time. I like the signings of Shelby Miller, bringing back Andrew Chafin, and they're not devoid of offense. Riley Green, Spencer Torkelson, Gary Carpenter, and newcomer Mark Canha is very interesting as well. Cole Keith, Parker Meadows, a couple prospects. So my Tigers, wild card in the AL.
It's like a Tigers infomercial here with Paulie. Right. Paulie, great to see you. That means baseball is here. Can't wait, man. Thank you.
Can't wait to talk to you again. Take care.
Paul Sporer at Sporer, S-P-O-R-E-R on FanGraphs. Those season win totals in the NFL are next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. Why don't you sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription today? Get your first year for only $199 instead of the typical price of $240. Just use promo code ANG. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do for an entire year. That includes our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, 24/7 video access, plus access to our March Madness betting hub with picks for every game of the tournament. That's access, not access.
I was just going to make a joke about it.
Remember to use promo code ANG.
ANG is in the numbers game. No free access.
What happened to me? Get your first year of VSiN Pro access for only $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Just got loose with the mouth. I don't know what happened there. Should I Ron Burgundy through some tweets? We don't ever want to do that. Do we?
Sure.
Let's see what we got.
Remind me, I got one more NFL win total bring up next segment.
Go ahead with your. You want to do next segment?
Did the Patriots one not jump out to you of like the number at first of how low it was?
Yeah.
I don't know that they're going to get to 5 wins, though. That schedule's brutal. We'll talk about it.
It is brutal. We'll get it next week. Let's talk some more baseball. We'll do the tweets also because we want to get as much out of Borchardt as we can here. Ladies and gentlemen, you know it's baseball season when you see Paul Sporer, which we did moments ago, and you know it's baseball season for reals when this guy joins us. Base winner Mark Borchardt from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert, courtesy of the Progressive guest line, nerding out on baseball. How you doing, Mark?
Doing good. Was that like a correlation, regression analysis, illusion, like the axis, like the x-axis and the y-axis?
I don't know.
Maybe subliminally you went there because of me.
People who don't know and are new to the show, but so many obviously know you from you and I go way back on this. Like we connected in a forum back in the day. We're like, oh my God, this is my dude, because he just completely nerds out on baseball. Your numbers are awesome. Thank you for doing the Megapod. Me, you, and Jason did the Beating the Book baseball preview podcast yesterday. So I encourage everybody to listen to that. Let me just start with where people, before we launch into some of your picks, where can people find you this year?
Basewinner.com, first and foremost, and there's a lot of stuff on my site, and we're going to do exciting things this year. And you guys can participate because I want your feedback on what you want us to build. So you can do that over there at basewinner.com. And then the MLB show, BetUS MLB show, I'm back for my third year and really excited about it. And you guys might even get a chance to hear me rap over there on a Friday
because
I love Friday cards so much.
We gotta find the money, mind on my money and my money on my mind.
Oh, yeah, we're going to get that drop back.
We got to get that drop back from him because Mark is liable to just spit some Snoop at any moment. All right. Obviously, because we did the Megapod yesterday, I know some of your picks. Can I make a request? Can I do a request on some of your picks yesterday? Because this audience might not have heard some of it. You have a very strong take on a team in the NL Central.
Absolutely. I love the Brewers. I mean, they're my team with the most disparity between the base winner wins and the wins you can find online. And I have them at 92.7 wins, and you can get them priced at 77.5. And so basically any kind of Brewers bet is valuable. I like their pitching. I think they're hitting serviceable, good fielding. There's a kind of a theme, Gil, for all of my plays. And I think it starts with the bullpen. And I think it's the way that I do the simulations, in that I'm giving the bullpen quite a bit of playing time in those simulations, because they get up quite a bit of playing time nowadays.
Yep.
And so I think you have to have some really hardcore bullpen numbers. You got to be able to mix and match and understand that, a team has a bottom, we call it the underbelly, Gil, and then the team has You know, the setup 7-8 end closer. And so there, and sometimes there's disparity. And I think that Todd was on the show one time and he says he really likes the live bet based on bullpen rating.
Yeah.
So it's amazing how many different components within a sport you have, but especially with baseball, those bullpens cannot be overlooked in this day and age.
Well, I think it's, I'll do the opposite of that. I think one of the biggest reasons that I no longer bet baseball on a day-to-day basis is because of the inability to quantify the underbelly, as you call it, of bullpens. So good on you. So Brewers over 77.5, you have them to win the division. You did like what I did with the Giants. I didn't do the division on the Giants, but I did everything else. You did basically with the Brewers. You have them winning bets on them at every stage, pennant, division, division pennant, and World Series bets, yes?
Yeah, and I think you make a really good point in today's day and age is you can have a team like the Braves, who I'm just gushing over. You can see my Braves Lucky Shamrock medium shirt trying to bring it out here. You know, when you get to the playoffs, it's like you're probably better served to have a team that just sneaks in.
Yes.
There. Like you're going with the Giants. I think that's a pretty good play. I like the Brewers. I think they're, you know, I got them at 80-1 to win the World Series, and they can do it. You know, they got Peralta, and I think Peralta, here's a spoiler alert. He's in my group of five for Cy Young Award winner in the National League. And this DL Hall, really excited about him. He's got great extension and good StatCast metrics, which I try not to get too excited about because they got to translate those StatCast metrics to win and strikeouts and that sort of thing. But I think that they're capable of a postseason run. So really, Brewers probably more like to win the World Series. Braves definitely to win the division. I think that, you know, we joked about draining the Vanguard account or half draining it. You got to keep a little bit just in case, but I've got the Braves winning that division over 90% of the time, and you can get them at -240. So I think that's a pretty good play. Maybe a better play would be to go with them and Philly, who I actually, it's surprising because they're in the same division, but I have Philly to also make the playoffs and over their win total by like five games or something. So exact bet, Braves, Phillies is probably even more exciting at +150. And then my other favorite exact is Brewers with your Chicago Cubs. And that's 15-1 on this straight Brewers 1, Cubs 2.
We brought this up with Will. Will brought this up earlier. The beauty of baseball season from a betting standpoint is that more than any other sport, there are hundreds of things you can bet. It is so cool, all the different things, and Division Exact is just being one example of that. And shop around, by the way, you might be able to find better than 15-1 on a Brewers Cubs 1-2 Exacta in the NL Central. Give me an award. You mentioned Freddy Peralta, part of your Cy Young bucket. Can you explain that to folks?
Yeah, that's cool. That's a great question. Okay, so what I do is I do a group of five, and I split the bets out according to their odds. So I can actually give you the NL Cy Young, the bet amount based on $100. So I went with Strider +450 odds, $64 you risk on him. And then Peralta, I went with 15-1, $22. My long balls were Charlie Morton at 60-1, put $5 on him roughly. Michael King at 75-1, put $5 roughly on him. And then DL Hall, 150-1, put $2.36 on. So anyway, you bet it like that. It's effective odds of +257, which I think is a pretty good idea. And it gives you a lot of, I think enjoyment as the season progresses, because you have five guys and I'd like to make sure that they have at least a chance, and I think they do based on a lot of the metrics. And I think it's a good way to kind of get involved with these season totals, and that's kind of how I do it at Base Winner.
Yeah. And show them some love at Base Winner. By the way, if you want a deeper dive on all this stuff from Mark and from Jason Weingarten, again, Beating the Book MLB Preview Podcast is out there. I'll retweet it after the show. If the Brewers are your most undervalued team based on your numbers, juxtaposed against the betting market, what's the most overvalued team based on your numbers?
Ooh, that's a good question. It's kind of hard to answer that, but I think maybe the Orioles, Gil. Let me go back into one of my charts here and just kind of see what the biggest disparity is. And I think that, I mean, overvalued White Sox, that's my biggest disparity, but like they're priced at 61.5 and the market wins. I have them at 48.8. I'm trying to give you like a better team, like maybe a team that's a little bit better. The Cardinals. The Cardinals are at 84.5 games and I have them at 72.6. I'm not convinced on that team's pitching at all. So they're actually, you know, 11 games below the market by my projections.
Yeah, that's a good answer. By the way, the White Sox, I know this from the Megapod yesterday, Mark actually has them a tick worse than the Rockies for lowest record in all of baseball, in case someone wants to, worst record in all of baseball, in case someone wants to bet that as well. Okay, last thing. Games begin in earnest tomorrow. I know we have the two games in Korea once again, so it's not officially the opening, but it is generally the opening. You have a play on one of them for us before we let you go?
Oh, I'm trying, it's so juicy tomorrow. The card is so good. I've never seen an opening day card, and I'm not making this up to get people excited. It's literally one of the best opening day cards I've seen. I'm going to go with the this is a weird play, but I'm going to go with the Tigers at -173. Wow. Lay the wood on this one, but I got it priced at -274. Derek Skubal, the base winner, number one, and he's going up against who I've got in there right now. Garrett Crochet, I guess, check the opening numbers. Who's a league average pitcher. And, you know, it's just, the White Sox are horrible, and the Detroit pitcher is best. You may want to get, if you get a good line in the five inning markets, maybe play it five inning.
Yeah, because. And I'll just do this again for folks who are hearing you for the first time. They're like, oh my God, if he has that big of an edge, he should be betting, you know, millions of dollars. Whenever the instinct is to say something about Mark's edges, like one year he had the Yankees at 98 wins when it was 91, and people are like, that's crazy. Whenever you doubt this guy, it usually comes through. Robbie Ray, 100-1. Anybody remember for Mark Borcher? Thank you, Mark. We'll talk soon.
Welcome, Gil. Pleasure.
Basewinner.com. We'll come back. Kelly on golf next.